appreciate the opportunity to get together. And I believe that the theme that you have chosen to pursue this year in your learning and these various sessions and activities is bracha and brachos. Is that correct? All right, good, because otherwise we'd have to start from scratch. So our theme this year is brachos and bracha. So I think it's very fitting that we talk about bracha in the context of tshuva. Because maybe in one respect, tshuva is synonymous with bracha. And let's understand what I mean by that. And not only what we mean theoretically, but how can we apply this in our own lives? Just getting started. So I want you to start tonight by thinking about, in a certain sense, what is arguably the worst thing in life? Which is a pretty weighty thing to think about. What is the worst thing in life? And maybe digging a little bit deeper, what is the worst feeling in life? What is the worst possible feeling you can imagine? So how would I know what the answer to that question is? Because everybody has a different way of navigating their feelings. But it's interesting that when we look in the Torah, whenever you see something for the first time, it gives us an insight into the real depth of it. Do you know the first time that the Torah says something is not good? And if the Torah says something is not good, it's really, really serious. You could argue that it's the worst thing in the world. What does the Torah say is lo tov? It's not good. Lo tov, heyos ha'adam levado. The worst thing is for a person to be levado. And what that might mean is that means that it's very bad for a person to be alone, which is the basic level of context there in Bereishis. But what it really means is that the worst thing in the world is for a person to be lonely. There's a big difference between being alone and being lonely. What's the difference? How would you guys explain that? Now this is the participatory section. How would you distinguish between being alone and being lonely? Hello.
When you're alone, like, there's no one physically with you. When you feel lonely, then, like, the people with you, you just don't feel like they're with
you. Right, you feel isolated, right? You might be in a group of other girls, but you, even if you're not alone, you might still feel lonely, and that's a terrible feeling, right? When I was your age, my parents drove carpool. And one of the things that we were subjected to in carpool, as you all know, having a parent who drives carpool sometimes comes with hazards. And at that time, it was listening to the oldie station. So now the oldie station, I don't know what they play on the oldie station, because when I was growing up, it was oldies. Now it's probably like the dinosaur station. So there was a singing group on the oldie station. They were called the Beatles. Anyone familiar with the Beatles? Okay, we got it. The Beatles have a song about a woman named Eleanor Rigby who goes and picks up the rice outside of the church after a wedding. And when she dies, no one notices. And what's the chorus? All the lonely people. It's all about people who are lonely. And it's a heart-wrenching song. And what's remarkable about this song is that it was a huge shift for the Beatles, because originally the Beatles were rock and roll, which is about love and free love and everything is good. And then all of a sudden they come out with a song about loneliness. And you're like, whoa. Everybody was thinking, that's so strange, because it's so heavy. It's so serious. It's lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. People who, any of you guys listen to country music, you will know that country music talks about the real serious issues of life, and loneliness is a big theme in country music. Because when you get down to your soul and you really think about it, being lonely, it's mamish the worst thing. This is a very sensitive topic, what I'm about to mention. And lo aleinu, maybe some of you even know, I know a person who succumbed to this terrible thing, lo aleinu. And it's obviously extremely complex. But I saw a headline once in an article in a magazine called The New Yorker, and it mamish stuck with me. The headline of the article was, "Suicide, a crime of loneliness." Lo aleinu, a person who, and of course suicide is an extremely complex phenomenon, it's a mental illness that would drive a person, lo aleinu, to such a point. But the way that the article categorized it was very interesting, because it's identifying different aspects of what are the social phenomena around this terrible thing, and it identifies loneliness as a piece of it. Even for someone who might be incredibly talented and very popular, this article was penned after the suicide of a man by the name of Robin Williams. Some of you might know, one of the most famous comedians of all time. But he experienced, according to what it sounds like from people who knew him, acute loneliness and other mental health issues. Loneliness is so, so serious. Have you ever had that feeling when you feel not just alone, but lonely? This summer, I had the opportunity to take a day and a half trip with my brothers-in-law and my father-in-law, which was awesome and hilarious because this was a group of six overgrown yeshiva bachrim who are now in their 30s and 40s, together with my father-in-law who's in his 60s, and we all went to West Virginia. We rented an Airbnb farm with goats and chickens, and we stayed there overnight, and we did a lot of, like, very interesting things. There were no wives there, so we ate all the eggs from the chickens. There were some blood spots. It was really amazing. It was an amazing trip. So one of the things that we did on this trip is we all went white water tubing. So Harper's Ferry is where the Shenandoah meets the Potomac Rivers between West Virginia, Virginia, and Maryland. So we all went on these tubes, and you're supposed to float down the river. They have rapids. It's supposed to be great. About 10 minutes into this river, I start to feel that my tube is losing air. So after a very short time, I'm like sinking into the river, and I have my flat as a pancake tube, which is popped from one of the rocks. So here I am in the middle of the river. And my brothers-in-law were there. Some of them had floated down already further, but two of them were there. And I told them, I don't want them to miss out on the whole two-hour thing that just because of me, the loser who's stuck there without a tube. I said, you guys go, and I'll walk, and I'll try to swim up the river to get back. And they said, no, and I insisted. So I started going back by myself. It turns out one of the guys had in his waterproof necklace thing, he had a cell phone, and he called, and a guy came with a canoe and got me a new tube, which was great. But for about 3 minutes, I was trying to go up the river by myself, lugging this thing, swimming upstream. And after the first minute, you're like, oh, I can do this. Come on, what's the big deal, swimming upstream in a river? Like, that's, you know, be a man. And then at a certain point, I was like, I have this very strange, lonely feeling. Like, I am alone in the middle of a river swimming upstream with a flat donut on my back. And it was like, for a moment, it was really scary. And it was really sad to feel like I was so lonely. Like I was just all by myself in this gigantic river. Well, it turns out that they had my back and they were getting the guy with the canoe. But the feeling of loneliness is horrible. So what's the greatest feeling in the world? What's the greatest feeling? Yeah.
Not being lonely.
Right, not being lonely. So how would you characterize that? How do you describe that feeling?
Being happy.
Being happy?
I don't know.
Okay, but how would you give words to that? What is that feeling? Yeah.
Accepted.
Being accepted. Feeling like you belong. Feeling like somebody's with you. Somebody is supporting you. You're not by yourself. You have someone with you. That is an amazing feeling. What is tshuva? Tshuva is the feeling that Hashem is with me. That is the definition of tshuva. We allude to this in L'David Hashem that we say twice a day. We say, Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. As it were, my own parents, they abandoned me. But don't worry. What do we say next? V'Hashem yasveini. Hashem will le'esof, means to gather. Imagine a small child in a basket. This used to happen in Europe all the time. The rabbi, let's say Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, would open the door and there is a basket with newspaper and a blanket and a child. Abandoned. Alone and lonely. And what does the Rabbono Shel Olam do? He picks us up. Hashem ya'asfeini. Osef means he gathers us. He gathers us with him. So not only are we not alone, we don't feel lonely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. How do I know this is the pshat in tshuva? Because if you look in the Rambam, in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that a person who is a person of tshuva, he is mudbak b'shchina, he's close to Hashem. When we are not in the process of tshuva, we feel distant from God, we feel alone and lonely. But when Hashem is with us, when we're doing the tshuva process, we don't feel like we're by ourselves at all. We feel like we have company. We feel like we belong. And that's why, according to the Gemara Maseches Tanis, Yom Kippur is such a happy day. Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, is one of the two happiest days in the calendar. Why? Because it's the day where Hashem is closest to us. On Yom Kippur, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem means that Hashem is mamish with us at every instant of the day. Isn't that the best feeling in the world? Imagine you're going on a trip, and I don't know how many of you have six brothers-in-laws, and you're not men leaving your families, but imagine you had like your closest friend or friends, and you guys were going to go on a trip, and you have like 5 hours in the car ride just to schmooze, just together. Such a nice feeling, isn't it? Like you feel like you really connect. And because you connect, you have that quality time together. It makes you feel good. You're not by yourself. On Yom Kippur, through the process of tshuva, we feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there with us. And the amazing thing is that even though we're not perfect, he's with us. You know, sometimes we have that friend. We like that friend. We do, but they snore sometimes on the bus next to us. Or maybe they didn't brush their teeth sufficiently the last few years. You know, like there are certain things about them that are not like, you know what I'm saying, not meachus. So sometimes it's hard to be around them. We do our best. We like them. But you know what the Rebbe Shlom says about us? He says, when we're undergoing the process of tshuva on Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, this is even for those who are not returning in tshuva, but we say, according to the Chachamim, if we return in tshuva, we try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is there, even though we're not perfect. Even though maybe our socks smell a little bit. When I was growing up, we had a station wagon, and my brother and I used to sit in the back, and if he would take off his shoes, we had a rule, feet out. We'd roll down the window, he would have to put his feet out the door, because it was horrible. I mean, you can't live like that, you know what I'm saying? And even if we make so many mistakes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, it's okay. On Yom Kippur, I'm with you. Through the tshuva process, I'm with you. You're not alone and you're not feeling lonely. Because ki avi v'imi azavuni, even if everyone, even the most important people in my life, so to speak, God forbid, left me, v'Hashem yasveini, Hashem is going to gather me in. I feel so great about myself. So now I understand why Yom Kippur is a day of so much simcha. Because it's a day when we feel good about ourselves because we belong. We belong with Hashem. He spends the day with us. It's that great road trip. It's amazing. Some of you are familiar with the old story. It's a Christian story, but I heard this story when I was sitting on the banks of the Kinneret as a yeshiva bacher in Israel, and the Mashgiach told us this story. So if he said the story, it's okay that it's Christian. A person goes through life, and there are lots of different challenges in life. And they come at the end of their journey up to the Ribbono Shel Olam after 120. And they're standing there before the pearly gates and all the malachim, they're directing you over here and over there. You know, they have their white angel outfits. You don't want to look at the people who went to the other side. So the person comes to the first angel, and he sees that in the yeshiva shalmaila up in the heavens, there's like a sandbar, a beach. And this person, let's say it's a nice lady, she's passed away after 120, Arichus Yomim V'Shanim, she should rest in peace. She looks down at the at the sandbar and she says, "Wow, that's very interesting." She asks the Malach, "You know, Michal, what is that exactly?" So Malach Michal says, "Oh, that's your life. All those footsteps in the sand going along, that's your journey through life." So the lovely lady with her elderly glasses, she looks down carefully and she says, "Really, that's interesting. I see this is when I was younger, this is when I was older, but I also notice, I see there are actually two pairs of footsteps. So there are four little imprints in the sand. So why are there four footsteps? Shouldn't there just be, if that's my life, why aren't there just two footsteps?" So the Malach says, "Oh, you know, that's a good question. You have to ask God, ask the Rebbe Shalom, why are there two sets of footsteps?" So she says, "Fine, I'll get in line whenever it's my turn. So she comes to the Rebbe Shalom. She says, "Thank you for a beautiful life. I've got some, you know, stuff we have to work out. We'll work that out. That's fine. But I have a question for you. They showed me the path of my life. They showed me all the footsteps. And then they showed me another pair of footsteps. So what's the story with the second pair of footsteps? They didn't tell me what those are." So the Borei Olam says, "Oh, you know what those footsteps are? Those are mine." Hashem Yisbarach says, "I walked right along with you your whole life. I was with you so that you should never be alone. You shouldn't feel lonely." This lady says, "That's interesting, but now I'm really troubled. I don't get it. Because when I look very carefully and closely at the timeline of these footsteps, I notice that there are periods in which there is only one pair of footsteps. And when I look very carefully, I notice that the period in which there are only one pair of footsteps are the most difficult, darkest, challenging periods of my life. So I ask you, Ribono Shel Olam, how could it be that during the most difficult times, the times that I really, really needed you, you weren't there for me?" So the Ribono Shel Olam Kiviyachol looks at the lady and he says, "I hear you, but I'll tell you a secret. In those very difficult times, you see those footsteps? Those are my footsteps. When it was really tough for you, I picked you up and I carried you. And that's why there's only one pair of footsteps." That is the process of tshuva. What the Rambam says is, Hayom hu mudbak b'shechina. When we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel that close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we return to Him, we realize that He's with us. And there's no better feeling. I might be totally alone in my room and despondent about whatever is going on with my friends or with my family or on social media or on my phone. And it might feel at first glance like I'm alone and I feel lonely. But when I make that turn back to the Rebbe Shalom, I say, "Rebbe Shalom, where are you?" That turn, that's called tshuva. I realize I'm not lonely anymore at all. Because the Rebbe Shalom is with me. And even though it's very difficult, I'm not by myself. I'm not lonely. Hashem is there going along through this entire journey. If this is general about tshuva bichlal, that when we turn back to Hashem, we realize that He's with us all the time. That's the concept of tshuva, of that turn, of that movement toward Him, and that's bringing us the awareness that Hashem is with us. That's very good now for Yom Kippur, right? On Yom Kippur, this Wednesday, Haba Aleinu Letova, Tuesday night, some of you will go to shul on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and you can open the machzor, and the machzor will say, "Remember, Hashem is with you today. Don't feel lonely. Even if you were lonely for the last 364 days, you can come back to Hashem Yisbarach today, and you won't be alone, and you won't feel lonely. Good? Great. The problem is, that's good for Yom Kippur. But what about the day after? And the day after? And the day after that? When I'm struggling, whether it's in school, or socially, or with my family, or with my friends, how do I not feel lonely then? So the answer is, tshuva. Where is the tshuva the rest of the year? So maybe you'll say it's like in the bracha, for example, of Hashivenu, and the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, you could do tshuva any day, which is great. You can. And we should. We should do tshuva all the time. We should always be turning to Hashem and feeling His presence with us and trying to return to Him in a deeper level. But I wonder if the everyday tshuva is the bracha. That tshuva is synonymous with bracha. Because bracha, when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, is the awareness and the feeling that Hashem is with us. Do we say Baruch Hu Asher Kedishanu? No, we say Baruch Ata. It's in the second person. You, Hashem, are with us. We're having a face-to-face conversation. Me and the Borei Olamim and the creator of all the worlds that ever were and ever will be. You are my God, and I am with you. The word bracha, everybody know what that word comes from. Where is it drawn from? No. Might be from the word berech, knee, which is true. But if you look, there is an amazing sefer called Shari Ora, written by Rabbi Yosef Ibn Jikatil. It's a little bit Kabbalistic, so you know, it's on the deep end of the spectrum of, you know, the shallow water versus the deep water. I don't really understand anything that he says in that sefer. But what he does say is that the word bracha is from the word brecha. What is a brecha? A pool. A reservoir. Kiviyachol, so to speak, there is a great reservoir of energy, of bracha, of blessing, of goodness. There's a gigantic reservoir. And when we recite a bracha, we are tapping into and drawing down a little bit of that for ourselves. It's almost like when you recite a bracha, you're taking a cup and you're filling it up from that brecha, from that reservoir. You are literally bringing that goodness into your own life. So when you say Baruch Ata, whatever the end of that bracha is, you are connecting to Hashem and bringing the light into your life. It's very similar to the turn of tshuva. The tshuva that brings us back to realize that Hashem is with us. In this case, in the case of the bracha, you're scooping out one cupful of spiritual nourishment and bringing it into your life. So you're not lonely at all because Hashem is with you. You just took a cup from Hashem's swimming pool, so to speak. And this is something that we can do every day. I'll give you three examples to think about, maybe in your own lives. How many of you guys drink coffee? A couple of coffee drinkers. How many of you guys eat cereal in the morning? Is that still a thing? Cereal? Okay. And anybody do hot chocolate? Oh, okay. So we got a good range. But everybody knows it's good to eat something for breakfast. Right? You don't want to get hangry during the afternoon. You got to eat something for breakfast. Does everybody do breakfast in some form or another? Great, great way to start your day, right? But imagine if before we ate breakfast, we took a moment when we said that bracha and we realized that today is a new day. Today is a day that Hashem is with me. And I'm going to acknowledge that Hashem is with me by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem. You're with me today. Shehakol Niyeh B'dvaro. You made everything and you're with me. I'm not going to be alone today. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to be with me. You can create that connection with Hashem over the coffee or the cereal or the hot chocolate every morning. It's a great way to start your day. So the idea of bracha, it starts in the morning. one place to start. How do you say your bracha on breakfast? That's one thing to think about. In that respect, that's an aspect of tshuva. It's bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life in a tangible way. Let's talk about another opportunity for a bracha. I don't really understand this whole phenomenon, but it is a phenomenon about people who use the restroom in groups. Do you ever see this? I don't want to stereotype, but in my gender, one person goes to the restroom by themselves, unsupervised, with no problem. But apparently, it's a thing that women go to the restroom in groups. It's like you don't go by yourself. You've seen this? I'll tell you this amazing Maisa Shahaya, absolute Maisa, true story. My wife Nechama was going through her pictures because she was in Florida at her parents' house. My father-in-law asked her to clear out some stuff, so she saw a picture from when she was in seminary. She grew up in Florida. She went to seminary with a couple of friends. In this picture, she's looking through her picture albums that her father wants her to get rid of. She's looking at this picture album, and in there she sees two friends of hers. One is from, who now lives in Los Angeles, another one lives in New York, from different places. And it says in the caption, lunch with such and such and such and such, two other women who were clearly not from a similar context. Their dress demonstrated that they were coming from a very different place. And she saw this picture, and she's like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder who these people are and why they were there. I don't know anything about them. So she takes the picture of it on her phone, and she texts it to the two girls who went to seminary with her, and they're like, no, don't recognize them. And then she recognizes, she's like, wait a second. I think that girl, who doesn't look like the others, these two girls, I think that girl lives in Chicago. So she texts it to that girl, and says, do you recognize this picture from 20 years ago? And the woman says, yes, I do. Well, she didn't recognize it, but her friend recognized it, just to make a long story short. They figure out that these two young women were in Hebrew U, they were not religious, and they were just arrived in Israel. They were on their way to the Kotel. And they stopped. They happened to be in the bathroom at the Dan Pearl Hotel when three seminary girls showed up and they're all in the bathroom talking. I thought that was very unusual, but apparently it's not. So they're in the bathroom talking, and the seminary girls are talking to the Hebrew U girls about how great it is to be in Israel, and it's amazing, it's wonderful, and they learned about this whole Judaism thing, but they didn't know where they're supposed to go next and what they're supposed to do. So these two women from Hebrew U say to the seminary girls, who was Nechama and three friends, where do we go? So they said, well, you should go here and there, and it turns out this picture is from a lunch date that they had 3 weeks later. Lo and behold, these two Hebrew U women and one friend of theirs ended up becoming religious and all live in Chicago. And they have wonderful families with wonderful children. All because of the famous meeting in the Dan Pearl bathroom. So the bathroom is a big thing, apparently. It's a segula for all kinds of transformations, I guess. It's an amazing thing. But in all seriousness, how often do we take for granted the fact that we can function in a healthy and normal way? So I tried an experiment for myself. And I decided this Elul, and I'll share this with you, I decided one of the two things that I was going to work on is that I was going to say Asher Yatzar, standing in one place. That's like my big Elul Kabbalah. And you would think, wow, like, do you know how hard it is to say Asher Yatzar in one place? Because all of a sudden I realized, do you know how I usually say Asher Yatzar? It's like this. It's running from one place to the other place. How hard is it to actually say all of Asher Yatzar with 2 feet in one place? It's not so easy. I've tried it. You can try it on your own. But you know what a difference it makes? Because now I say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a healthy person. Thank you. But more than that, I say to God, you're with me right now. Right now, in the middle of my day. And by not running away and not doing 10 other things while I'm saying Asher Yatzar, I just have an opportunity for bracha to fill up that cup from the brecha and say, Hashem, l'chaim, l'chaim, we're here together. I'm not alone. I'm not lonely. And then the last example, at night. So you could think about, maybe this is a good time to analyze your breakfast bracha, maybe your Asher Yatzar bracha. And then the last one is the Hamapil opportunity. There are people who think that I sleep in a suit, which I do not. I don't have Scooby-Doo pajamas. I have regular pajamas, like regular people, you know? What happens when a person gets into pajamas and goes to bed? So for a lot of people, on their night table is a sitter or one of those pamphlets, you know, like a plastic folded over card, whatever it is. And it says the bracha of Hamapil. It's a tough bracha to stick with because you're so tired and you're distracted and you just want to go to sleep. Well, what does it mean when everything else is quiet? Nobody else is in my room. Nobody is in my bed. Nobody's bothering me. And it's just me? Or is it? Is it me and just me? Or is it me and the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's my tshuva opportunity. It's my chance to say, Baruch Atah, that today it was a day, and you were with me. And whether it was an easy day or it was a miserable day, a difficult day, it's the way to end the day. So in conclusion, I would say that maybe what you guys at your stage in life can think about, because as adolescents, you're always struggling with identity and where do I belong and who's my friend and who am I like and where do I fit in? Returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that no matter what clique I'm hanging in right now, which may change, it may stay the same, there's one clique that will never leave me. And that's okay to be a part of that clique. You know, there's nothing, nobody's going to say anything bad about that one. Ki avi v'imi v'azavuni v'Hashem yasveini. Feeling that we are connected with Hashem, that is a deep realization that comes through tshuva that is the greatest bracha. As terrible and awful as it is to be lonely, that's how beautiful it is, how wonderful, how uplifting it is to realize that we're never lonely. We're never alone. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always with us in difficult times, in good times, whatever it is. And so making a bracha, saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, you're with me right now, that is a momentary act of tshuva. It's a momentary way of connecting to Hashem in the here and now. And whether it's through the bracha on your breakfast, maybe you want to try it for a day or for a week, maybe it's through a bracha of Asher Yatzar, maybe it's through the bracha of Hamapil, or any other bracha that you can find, it's an opportunity for you guys to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your lives. And it's not just the tshuva of Yom Kippur, where you feel close to Hashem, but it's the tshuva of the whole year. So I'll leave you with one bracha, maybe on a homiletic level. A lot of parents on Friday night give blessings to their children. So I have one daughter. So I say to my daughter, Yisimech Elokim Kisara Rivka Rachel V'Leah. And then I say the Birchas Kohanim. So what does that word Yisimech mean? So in the context, it usually is understood as to mean Hashem should enable you to be like Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah. But in a technical definition of that term, you know what it means? Hashem should put you, Yisimech Elokim, Hashem should put you right there with Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah. That you should realize you're never alone. Not only are you with the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time, but you should feel that you're with all the Imahos. All the Imahos from all the generations. Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah, they're all with you. Yisimech Elokim. Hashem should put you with them. You should feel that closeness. You should never feel I'm alone, and Chas V'Shalom, you should certainly never feel that I'm lonely. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. And according to this bracha that I give all of you and all of us, that Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah, they too are going to accompany you for your entire lives. And I wish each of you and all of your families a Gemar Chasima Tova and a Shana Tova. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.